You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 8:07 in the morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30, The Voice. Local news and talk. We just did the announcement. Next happy hour is at K Benita on Tanque Verde, and it's going to be a joint operation between Carmen and our new advertiser coming on board, Nature's Spa. She has two places, one on Sabino Canyon and Tanque Verde in the corner there by Gustos, and then the other one is up in by Arizona Pizza. And she does amazing massage and acupuncture and all this stuff. Her name's Peggy. Beautiful places, clean. I actually did it a couple of weeks ago. Great, great spot. Really, really good. If you're going to one of those sweatshop massage places, stop it. You should never go to a place called, like, Rubs in Your Life, for God's sakes. I don't know who named that crap, but God bless you. So anyway, Nature's Spa, two great locations. But that's going to be our next happy hour. And actually, when I'm there, Peggy's going to bring a massage table, and I'm going to massage Matt Neely in the parking lot when you guys come in. So if you see a golden, bronzed, greased up Greek demigod getting massaged by me, that is Matthew Neely. So you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. You just shut it off. That's what happens.
And what is the date of that happy hour?
That's October 29th, 5:30 to 7:30. So... can't wait to see you all. That's the sweet dulcetones of Joshua Jacobson from Lucky Wishbone and a variety of other things out there, as we like to say. And again, he's one of our number one masochists in town, constantly watching and observing what's going on at the Pima County Board of Soups. So we just had Michael Beatrice on before Josh, and we were talking about natural immunity. We were talking about a variety of things. So as you were giving me there was lots of stuff that happened at this last meeting, kind of very disjointed kind of meeting, right?
Yeah, there were a lot of different topics, and one of the things that you just brought to mind real quick.
Yes, sir.
Supervisor Scott made an accidental slip, and rather than calling Pima County, he called it Pima Comedy, which was really funny.
Nice job there, yeah. Rex.
Yeah.
The Freudian Rex Scott slip.
Yeah, it was great. Pima Comedy. As we were talking over the break about COVID, right?
Yeah.
Supervisor Christie was talking to Dr. Garcia, and this fits into what Michael Beatrice was saying in the last segment. And Supervisor Christie was asking Dr. Garcia, well, is natural immunity from, you know, COVID, is that better than getting the vaccine? And the answer was, well, the problem is that we don't know how long that lasts. Dr. Garcia was saying that from what he understands, that natural immunity from getting COVID lasts about 3 months and then it starts to taper off. But the other interesting thing that he said was...
Sorry, I just snorted for a second.
Exactly. The other thing he said was, we do not have a good way to differentiate the naturally immune versus the vaccinated. So that line is just very telling. It doesn't matter. We want everybody with the shot. Period. End of story. Right?
It's amazing, right? It's... freaking amazing. So one of the listeners of the show who got Rona, I don't know, like 14 months ago, mm-hmm. He goes back once in a while to check his antibodies, still going strong with his Rona antibodies, and it's 14 months later.
And I've got two friends taking part of a study at the U of A,
right.
Same thing.
So when Dr. Garcia goes, oh, it's about 3 months. Come on, bro.
It's, yeah.
Come on.
It's different in everybody. And one of the things that I would like to know, too, is if you're one of the people that had the vaccine, but then you get COVID as a breakthrough or whatever, how long do you need the booster? You know, how long does that work? Because we should be looking at that, too, right?
Right.
Why are we, you know, medicating people that don't need to be medicated?
So then you were telling me about, you know, we're spending $2 million for a Red Roof Inn to house, and we're also spending money having volunteers driving COVID-positive refugees mm-hmm. all around the county and the region. But we got to have a place to lodge these nice people. So we're at the Red Roof Inn spending $2 million. And tell me about Steve Christie and Dr. Garcia again on that conversation.
Sure. So that this conversation actually spans last meeting and this meeting. So in the last meeting, Supervisor Christie was speaking very pointedly to the issue of why are we even in this position to have to spend this $2 million? Why are we bringing in COVID infected and asylum seekers? Why are we paying to put them up in a hotel? Why is this happening? And why are we, you know, putting all of these draconian mandates on our people in our community? So that then spilled over into this meeting that happened yesterday. And the question was, now that we have these people put up in the hotel, the Red Roof Inn, we're spending $2 million of taxpayer money. Why are we not mandating that they get the shot as well? And Dr. Garcia refused to go on record to speak to why there was a differentiation. the final straw of Supervisor Christie asking him several different ways, what is the logic of making our county employees get vaccinated? What is the logic in the disincentives and the incentives? Why are we doing this to our people if we're letting people in? And finally, Dr. Garcia said, you know, we don't have to force them to do it because if we offer it, 90% of them are taking it. So we don't feel like we need to make it a rule.
So we can force our own employees.
We can force our own people, our own employees, our own citizens.
But the migrant from Honduras, 90% of them are going to take it, so it's cool. We'll give them their own free will to make that educated decision. Is that what we're saying?
And I would like to know where the 90% number came from.
Yeah.
Are we documenting that? Are we, you know, are we offering it to them and they're saying, no, thanks, it's okay. So there was a pretty heated exchange there with Dr. Garcia and being very elusive to the question. And then
he's so useless, Dr. Garcia, for God's sakes. Jeez.
He's interesting to watch. Now, the way that it ended up terminating, the conversation terminated, was basically with Mr. Huckleberry saying that from what he understands, starting in October, asylum seekers will be getting the jab. So that'll be something to watch.
It's so amazing, right? We've watched all of these people get pushed throughout the country a variety of ways, and then we're like, oh, and now we're gonna vax them now.
Exactly. We've got this giant COVID problem. We're shutting everything down, we're doing this, we're doing that, but we're letting people in. Why do we even have this problem on the southern border?
So you tell me that Luke Warmosaurus Rex got a little heated himself finally.
Yes. So in the last meeting, the September 7th meeting, the discussion that Supervisor Christie was having about the $2 million in housing, Supervisor Scott became quite blustery and, you know, talked very pointedly, you know, in response to what he said. It was not directly in response to what Supervisor...
Was he reading this off of script like he usually does stuff, or...
He did have a prepared statement because he had several points that he wanted to lay out, and he was very clear.
I love this when he does that.
Wasn't in response to Supervisor Christie, but apparently he was tuned up and was saying, the reason that we're spending this $2 million is to protect our community. The reason that we're doing this is because we have to house the infected asylum seekers. Well, again, the point is, why do we even have to do any of this?
Well, so it's so stupid, right, of course, is that we're paying money to transport them all over the place, right? We're telling our volunteers, make sure you wear your mask because you could be trapped in a car with a COVID-positive family, for goodness sake. Then they're going to stay at the Red Roof Inn for 1 to 3 days and then go off on their merry way. the idea that Lukewarmosaurus Rex thinks that's somehow a protecting the community factor is hilarious. It's hilarious.
And it's, you know, it's just the whole thing is just very disingenuous to me.
Yep.
And I come from a perspective of, and this is what I deal with in my business and my staff is, you know, I've got several DACA recipients, people that are just waiting to, you know, become part of our country legally.
Right.
And we're just watching this influx and they're just getting pushed to the wayside. And it is so frustrating to me that we're not fixing this and that we're just making excuses and, you know, and that Supervisor Scott's reasoning is this is not a problem because it's federal money versus, I guess, money out of the general fund or wherever. But the problem is it's still taxpayer money. It's still our community. We have things to fix. So he was very, very, I guess, pointed.
Are they meeting in person yet?
No.
So they're still doing the scared away Zoom thing. So they can't really face the public, which they love.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
And then at the same time, they're saying, we're going to just basically scattershot all of these COVID positive humans all over the southwestern United States. And that's okay. I just want to make sure I got that straight.
With the exception of we're not making them get the shot yet, but if you're a county employee, you better get it.
I mean, that would be, if I was a county employee and they say, why don't you want to take it? I said, because you're not forcing any of the other people to take it.
Do you want to hear some of the statistics about the county yesterday?
Now, that is a sexy tease right there. Ooh. Josh Jacobson. I like that. Josh and I will continue. If you have a question or comment, 790-2040. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Remember, we got Hugh Hewitt coming up later in the morning, and then we have Dennis Prager. We just had Will Whit on from Dennis Prager yesterday morning, but Dennis is on your drive home. So Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Definitely a multiple requested song for our first day of autumn. If we get to it before the weekend, I got a good list of all those pumpkin packages you need to take your kids to. So, and remember, as Linus said, go to the sincere ones. Don't go to that insincere crap out there, as we like to say. So we're hanging out with Josh Jacobson, Lucky Wishbone, and other things out there. And we're talking about the Pima County Board of Supervisors. So you said that Rexy got a little fired up, but he actually took a little time out of this meeting because...
Yeah, exactly.
He wanted to apologize for getting so fired up.
Yeah, so
in
the September 7th meeting, like we were talking about, he got pretty fired up in regards to the $2 million. And so he took a point of personal privilege at the beginning of yesterday's meeting and issued an apology. And apparently what had really triggered him was that he received an email from one of the heads of the political parties in the area, and he found the content of the email to be fear-mongering and disingenuous, and it just really, really tuned him up. And so he issued an apology, which was interesting because I thought that he got a little bit fired up in the last meeting.
Did he read his apology?
Too bad.
Because he reads everything, it seems like.
It's hard to tell if he's reading or if he's just really well-spoken.
So him telling me, like, you know, it's like something out of a sitcom, right? We've all seen that where the guy who's, like, really even-keeled, right? And he'll be like, I'm sorry I'm this angry. I'm sorry that right now you're experiencing me losing my cool. That's what it feels like to me.
so take that up definitely a few more degrees. I mean, we saw Supervisor Scott get a little bit animated and he has talked about in his apology, what he was talking about was after 9/11, there should be a coming together of the parties and we shouldn't be getting caught up in this rhetoric. But what's interesting to me is that he also will turn around and make a quote about like the audit going on in Maricopa as an assault on the permanent early voting lists. And
now, is this Steve Kozachik you're talking about?
Nope, we're still
still
talking about at the beginning of this year he was very supportive of the resolution of HR1. He didn't vote for it, but he said that he definitely agreed with it, and that contained basically saying that you're a white supremacist if you think that there's issues with the voting that happened in 2020.
It's very cute that a guy who's a Democrat, and he'll never criticize the Democrat Party. I mean, if there's one party that's turned one portion of America against the other, it's the Democrats specialize in it. It's been going on since the Obama administration, it really hyped up, right? It's black versus white, old versus young, gay versus straight. Now it's unvaccinated versus not vaccinated, right? If you're unvaccinated in the Democrat Party's mind, and I'm sure, Rex can argue with me anytime he wants, but if you're unvaccinated in the Democrat Party, you're a second class citizen now. That's where you're at.
Yes. And I'll tell you what, this is where we're at too.
One minute, just telling you before we go to break.
Oh, okay. I received an invitation to go to a party, and it's always very flattering to get invited to go to a party. But on the invitation, it said, please let us know your vaccination status and if you would like to be seated at a table away from other folks. This is where we're at, So it's funny that I really appreciated the invite, especially because I think that these people are very, very well aware that my political beliefs don't align with theirs, but they still gave me the invitation. So
that's beautiful. I got a tear in my eye that just shorted out my microphone a little bit. Josh and I continue on after the bottom of the hour break. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Country Bumpkin's a fall song? Hmm? Or just because it rhymes with pumpkin?
The Frost on the Pumpkin.
Oh, The Frost on the Pumpkin. I missed that part. So there we go. Welcome to Country Bumpkin Radio here at Wake Up Tucson. Not as sophisticated as some other shows out there, but we're damn proud of it, as we like to say. We're hanging out with Josh Jacobson. We're talking about Pima County. So what else did we miss? What else of note, young Josh, happened at the Pima County Board of Supes yesterday?
Well, there were some interesting statistics during the COVID conversation.
Oh, that's right. We forgot. We gave a Josh tease.
That's
before
right.
I went to break.
So in Mr. Huckleberry's presentation on COVID, he mentioned that in Pima County, people age 12 and up, we've got a 75% vaccination rate. Total, meaning everybody in the county, 56%. So the county is quite happy about that. And then Supervisor Hines will come in and he kind of took issue with us, with Pima County having a 75% vaccination rate, because his whole point was, well, we've got all of the 5 to 11-year-olds that have not been vaccinated, and they can still move around and breathe air, and we need to figure out how to get them vaccinated. Right. So, we're definitely vaccinating the kids is definitely high on the priority list coming up. The county did an internal survey of their employees that have not gotten the vaccination to find out, are they going to be able to move these people into getting it? Why are they not getting it? So the survey showed that 82% of the people there's nothing that you can do to get them vaccinated. They're just not having it. And 75% of those people said that the reason that they are absolutely not interested is due to side effects. 35%, and Mr. Huckleberry made this point, which I found rather amusing. 35% of government employees will not get the vaccine because they don't trust the government.
Now, I find this to be quite humorous, that people working for the government Don't trust the government.
I don't think he found that as humorous as I did, but I did like that.
Why wouldn't you trust people like me? I've been doing a great job earning your trust for 30 years now. Now,
47% of the sheriff's department is not vaccinated. So, you know, deputies, you might have gotten your tasers and your body cams because that happened yesterday.
That's true.
But they're coming after you.
Absolutely.
So there's also talk about once Biden's executive order goes into effect and, you know, we find out what that law is going to look like. And
it's not a law. Don't say law.
Once that executive order,
thank you,
legal language comes into effect, and if testing becomes a part of that, for instance, you know, if you have to get tested on a weekly basis, if you don't have the vaccine, who is going to pay for that? And the county is looking into that, if it's going to be the employee or the county that is picking up that bill.
Well, so, I'm sure they're going to want to punish the employee as best as possible.
Well, that is definitely the direction that the county has
taken. You know what's funny is, I from what I've read, that you have Latinos and blacks in America are the ones who are most resistant to getting the vaccine, right? The numbers are high. And these are the people that Pima County is going to punish for not getting the juice.
Well,
which is hilarious because they keep saying Black Lives Matter and we're into all these other things about racial stuff. But when it comes to the magic vax, we're going to pound the crap out of you.
Well, and this was discussed yesterday as well. If we've got 75% vaccinated, then don't we have herd immunity? Why are we continuing to go down this road?
Correct.
You know, and this is constantly discussed by the health department and, you know, higher levels, that the people that are in the hospitals and the people that are dying are all the unvaccinated people.
So this a waste of time. Dr. Cullen told Dan Shearer in a story last week that herd immunity or natural immunity is not really a thing here. And you're like, what are you? Just like Beatrice said, you're just going against thousands of years of proof and natural immunity and science. It's sick. It's sick and perverted. And the idea about kids, right? So we know the vaccine. So if Matty Hines, I don't know if you know this, he's a doctor, okay? when Hinesy says, oh, these kids are going to be walking around and breathing and share, you know, and blowing the COVID everyone like one of those sprinklers that go right in the front lawn, right? But the vaccine does not keep you from transmitting.
Right.
Right? And if the kid gets it, the outcomes are pretty negligible, okay, if a kid gets Rona, right? So it's the idea that, so why would you even subjugate these kids to the side effects or the bad part of this stuff if you don't really, it doesn't keep them from transmitting it anyway. This is why this is the biggest joke ever. Because what they're saying is, oh, if you're in a place, if you're not vaccinated, wear a mask. Well, you have just as good of a chance as a vaccinated person to spit this on somebody else as much as I do. So what's the difference?
And right? And the county, they're pretty upfront about, you know, kids are not getting COVID necessarily in school. They're getting it out in the community. They're getting it at home. They're getting it wherever they are.
Well, they want to keep saying, I don't know what any of that means, right? They don't know this. They're not contact tracing anybody, right? If they would, they would share it with us. They only share it with you when they want to, right? If the powers that be share the actual contact tracing, they wouldn't know anything. All of their decisions about gyms and restaurants and movie theaters and concert venues, well, they can't prove crap. Okay, we had I always go back to last October's Trump rally, right? There was 10,000 people there. They were all on top of each other, and the only people that wore masks were the ones standing behind Trump on television, right? And everyone else didn't wear a mask. And if Pima County could peg that as a super spreader, they would have done that, right? That would have been a huckleberry. Oh, look at all we got here. Trump did it again, super spreader, right? And they couldn't figure that out either. Okay, because it didn't happen. So this is why these people are just a walking group of scam artists after a while. This isn't about public health. They ignore science, right? I'm looking at the numbers on their stuff. Even their vaunted cases are dropping like a rock, all right, on a seven-day rolling average. So I don't know. I mean, they've always sucked on everything else. Why not suck on this?
Well, I think that the good news is that we are continuing to hear from the county that cases are plateauing, that we're seeing a drop off in the rolling average, like right. You're saying. Yep, I love that graph. You know, so
it's like, come on, people.
Yep,
you know. It's joke, right? That's what we say in the Yakov-Smirnoff world. What else are we missing, Joshua? What else of note would you like to share with the great Wakeys out there?
There was a rather large topic yesterday that probably a lot of listeners weighed in on. It was the precinct consolidation, and that was an agenda item. And so the elections department of the county proposed that we decrease on election day our precincts from 249 locations to 207. And what could possibly go wrong there?
So remember now, I'm going to just do this in my Chuck voice because I'm in the spirit right now, right? If you ask somebody for an ID, that's a disenfranchisement of the voter, right? That would be horrible if you actually had to prove who you were. But for God's sakes, we're going to get rid of how many, Josh? How many voting precincts are we going to get rid of?
Ooh, we're going to have to do the math on air. 42.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, we're going to get rid of 42. Now, Josh, what's the total right now? So we will do math on the air, wise ass. We're going to do it right now. Well,
249.
So, and we're going to get rid of going down to 209, right?
We're going down to 207.
207, that's right. Okay, sorry. So 42 divided by 240. Does that sound right? Is it 240 now? Sorry, one more.
So we've got 249 locations.
Oh, thank you, sir. That's what I need.
And we're going to cut that down to 207 locations. So they want to wipe out 42.
So I just want to do the math. That's I don't have my Gary Davidson. And Gary did email me and says you were correct on that HB. Matt, just want to give you a little vindication on the Gary Davidson calculator yesterday. That's 16.8% of precincts will be wiped out by Brad Nelson. That is not disenfranchisement.
And the big reasoning was is that would save the county $224,000. So this was one of those rare times that the call to the public was extremely critical of this measure, and actually all of the supervisors, with the exception of Supervisor Hines, because it appeared he was absent for a few minutes.
I bet he was off saving some lives. That's what I think he was doing.
All the supervisors chimed in and spoke against supporting it. And It failed. This was like the one time that a potentially partisan issue, because, you know, voting suppression, voting integrity, that has all of a sudden become such a partisan issue. But somehow all of the supervisors were able to come together and say, that's not a good idea.
So we got a lot of truisms in this, little sayings in this show, right? We got it's all about election day, right? Mm-hmm. It's about power, money, or vanity, but most of the time it's about the money, right? But when a Democrat administration tells you we're here to save you money, run like hell, right? So when that little weasel, sad to say, Brad Nelson walks up to you and says, we're going to save $224,000, you got to run like hell. Like those guys from Pink Floyd once said, run like hell. Let's get Bill. I don't know. I'm going to do the whole rest of the show in my Huckleberry voice. Let's go to Bill Beard, who's a guy who used to be on the election integrity and was quite a little bit of a burr under my saddle. Let's go, Mr. Beard. What do you got for me and Mr. Jacobson, the chicken guy?
Well, there's nothing quite like being on the receiving end of the ire of Mr. Huckleberry, and we'll just leave it at that. Suffice it to say, the basic problem with Pima County has been for a very long time They want to decrease the amount of scrutiny that the public, that the oversight is allowed when it comes to elections, and increase the opportunities for folks that want to manipulate the system. 10 years ago, we had over 400 precincts in Pima County.
Yep.
Now, they like to poo-poo the idea that, well, because everybody's voting by mail, it's no longer an issue. I would remind everybody out there that loves the idea of mail-in voting, and I'm not going to get into the pluses or minuses of it right now. If you are going to do what has been historically a problem for all elections, that is stuffing the ballot box, is it easier to hide some extra counts in one very large number, or spreading that extra you're trying to manipulate amongst hundreds of smaller amounts? It's easier to detect a problem when you've got a fewer amount of total votes you're counting. In other words, when you've got 400 plus precincts and you've got 400 different subtotal counts that you're trying to collate and verify, you can find where the manipulation is. When you've got 200 or less, it becomes harder to determine whether the system was manipulated. And Chuck Huckleberry, Mr. Brad Nelson, and the entire crew on the Board of Supervisors would like nothing more than the ability of the public to see if there's manipulation of the system. They just want you all to go away.
Well, I take great umbrage that you would ever say that about me and the crew here. And I was going to send you one of my Chuck Huckleberry loop Jaguar tight suits I was going to send to you, Bill Beard. But now it's said, hold on, let me tell you. Come on. Yep. He ain't getting it this time. He ain't getting it. So, Bill, thanks for your call,
I'm
man.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Thank you.
All right, I don't know if Josh is... Oh, Josh, are you still here after my bad Chuck Huckleberry impression?
I thought I was in the room with Mr. Huckleberry himself.
It's like a real-life experience with old Chuckles. Let's go to break. Chuck Huckleberry and Josh Jacobson, and we're going to do some... I love Vivaldi. Love doing it. This is what I listen to when I'm on the loop. I got my skin-tight Jaguar outfit on, right? I got my Kirsten Sinema back helmet on, and I just pedal and I pedal until I go and go and go. Anyway, this fool D. Simone might be back later after some of these commercials. Wake up, Cusson. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We do have to do a No Joe Jazz. You want to do a No Joe Jazz Friday, Thursday tomorrow, Matt? Are you up for that, to honor Joe Higgins?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do a No Joe Jazz Thursday tomorrow. So we're finishing up with Josh Jacobson. Josh, we only got about 3 minutes. We went a little long with my Chuck Huckleberry lounge act. But Carlos Ruiz, who's the co-chair of the No on 206, want to know that Adelita on the September 7th meeting put on the agenda discussion about the minimum wage in the county. Give us the short summary of what happened there.
Short summary is no surprise. Supervisor Grijalva wants a $15 minimum wage in the county. She was tying that conversation to what's going on in the city of Tucson. Obviously, we know where Supervisor Christie stands on that. Supervisor Scott also spoke pretty pointedly about it, and his position is that even though he does support a $15 an hour minimum wage and he is a supporter on the Tucson Fight for 15, as a supervisor, he would never vote for it because he mentions it's too big of an issue for only three people on the Board of Supervisors to make the decision for the entire county. So if I go
for re-election, I'll get crushed by the people in District 1.
So it's interesting because we haven't heard much from Chair Bronson. She really hasn't said one thing or another about it. I would hope that she would.
I feel like she's a no.
I do too. You never know,
right.
but I think that she would be. I think that she sees the issues in it. And while we're talking about it, I'd like to plug our good friend Zach Yenser's show because he did a good job interviewing Mayor Romero, and the points that she brought up kind of dovetail into the conversations that I've heard on this show is that she sees severe issues with the backside of the 206 proposition.
Well, I don't listen to the show, so I don't know. But I will tell you that with her, she can say that that's cute, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not like she's publicly coming out and saying there's a lot of bad with us, right? Because she would never do that. That would take courage.
One of her comments on that show that she basically the word was troubling. When you look at the backside,
she's so
of that.
Weak.
Well, I think it was a good interview because it really illuminated a lot of the issues that we've been talking about. The minimum wage is going to get to $15 an hour. People don't need to worry about that. It's everything else in that bill that is going to hurt Tucson. She hasn't come out against it, but she hasn't supported it. And that's really important.
Kind of. All right. Thank you for your time, as always, sir.
Thank you, Mr. DeSimone.
Have a great day. Of course, Lucky Wishbone and doing the Community Kid program. Great job. We'll be back tomorrow. Of course, it's a Schweikert kind of Thursday. Wake up.